When you need to focus on building, do you want to get bogged down by your database? MongoDB is an intuitive, flexible document database that lets you get to building. MongoDB's document model is a natural way to represent data so you can focus on what matters. MongoDB Atlas is the best way to use MongoDB. It's a global cloud database service that gives you all of the developer productivity of MongoDB, plus the added simplicity of a fully managed database service. You can get started free with MongoDB Atlas at mongodb.com/atlas. Hi, this is Scott Hanselm, and this is another episode of Hansel Minutes. Today I'm talking with Huma Abedi. She's a senior director of AI software products at Intel Corporation. How are you?
I am great. Thank you so much for inviting me, Scott.
Yeah, I'm happy to chat with you. I've done a bunch of research to learn about you and find out where you were coming from and how you ended up where you are. And I found a couple of articles, and one said that you actually set out to become a doctor. Is that true?
That is true, yes. My bachelor's is in pre-med and chemistry. And then I met my husband who was doing computer science, so that my husband now. So I really got interested in computer science, and then I ended up doing master's in computer science. And so that kind of changed the directions. Even though now we're using AI for so many, you know, health-related things, so I kind of like to connect the dots, but I am a computer scientist now.
That's amazing. So is that a common pivot? I seem like I've heard people before thinking about working on software like people, and then they end up working on software like computers.
Yeah. In fact, I was listening to the podcast that you had. I believe it's Dr. William Springer who wrote a book called Programming for Computer Science Scientists, and that's something that I really love. That anybody can, you know, you can come from different fields, but then you can be a computer scientist, and that is something that, especially for AI, which is very interdisciplinary. So I feel that whatever your domain is, whatever your area is, computer science and AI, those things can be applied.
One of the things that I've also noticed is I've read a number of articles about you with a number of other women in Intel that it seems like you feel like AI and women in tech is like a two things that go together really, really well. You're passionate about women being excited about artificial intelligence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So one of the things that I think that one of the key things that I want to do is to attract women. And we my entire career, I've tried to do that, to be striving to be a role model. And, you know, whenever I get an opportunity, I go and talk about my career in general in tech and all. But specifically for AI, I think it's much easier now. We can basically show girls and young women that how AI is relevant to the world, and how they can be part of creating this exciting, impactful solutions. And they can actually see how exciting it is, you know, like they are using Alexa or self-driving car or recommendation that they get from Netflix. So connecting those things with what they're doing and what they can be doing is a great way of attracting them. The other thing that I think that I just mentioned, that is striving to be a role model, I feel like that if we, representation is very, very important. And I myself have several role models, and for human-centered AI, like Fei-Fei Li in Stanford, or Meredith Whitaker in NYU. So that we have many, many great examples of women who are leading, major efforts and consortiums in AI. So that's one way that I feel like more and more women are getting into it. And also, I just mentioned about the AI being extremely interdisciplinary. So you could be doing something different, but then you can be part of AI solution or apply AI to whatever you are doing.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting, as we want to make sure that everyone is included and that folks with all different backgrounds, all different genders, all different socioeconomic backgrounds are included in software. We don't want to be stereotypical or make generalizations, but at the same time, I wonder if there are positive,
I don't know, positive characteristics rather than saying stereotypes, where women are really helping accelerate AI, and because they're bringing a focus on solving real problems or a focus on being very organized. I wonder if there are things that are unique about women that allow AIs to be created that are more thoughtful and more inclusive.
Yeah, I mean, that you can apply to anything. I wouldn't specifically say just for AI in computer mm-hmm. science or whatever. In my role as a manager, I mean, diversity has been a key, and myself being, you know, a female manager. So I have seen several qualities or things that women are very good at, and that you can apply whether it's in AI or it is in management or wherever. So AI, I would say it's interesting to women is because two things I would say. One is that AI for social good. I have felt whenever I bring this topic up, I'll mm-hmm. say, you know, that we have this project, AI for social good. I somehow feel that women get really passionate about it, even more so than this is as my own personal experience, and maybe not, I shouldn't generalize, but I feel mm-hmm. like they really are passionate about, okay, this is a project, I would love to work on it because this is going to change the world and for my children or whatever. So that is something that I feel that, you know, we have a big need, and this is a very, very important part. And biases, that inclusiveness, that not just women, but, you know, everybody should be included. So that also where women play a role. But specifically for AI for social good and projects such as these are really where women can shine. Mm-hmm. And the third point I would like to make is, as I said, that you could be doing economics or education or literature or whatever you are doing. Now AI, all of these aspects or these fields are becoming important to an overall AI. So if they were not doing a majority of women or a lot of women who were not into STEM, they can still be part of AI because they can apply AI to whatever domain that they are working in.
Interesting. And there's certainly many well-known women leaders in AI that serve as role models, yourself included. Fei-Fei Li, who's doing human-centered AI at Stanford, mm-hmm. Meredith Whitaker. These are all folks that are thinking about the social implications of exactly. AI. It seems that that all the different companies that are leading the charge, Intel included, have mm-hmm. been coming up with kind of guidelines for human-centered AI and trying to remove the creepiness factor?
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. I mean, the whole goal of human-centered AI is to, you know, for betterment of humanity and through AI. So improve human conditions and also enhance what humans can do. They, you know, it's always said, and in some cases it's true that AI is replacing humans. But the idea of human-centered AI would be to improve the quality of life of every human, but with ethics in the forefront. Mm-hmm. So having that, I think I'm really passionate about this, and I've started an engagement with human-centered AI at Stanford, which is co-founded by Fei-Fei Li. And we are trying to do where we can work, Intel can work with HAI, that's what they call it, a human-centered AI, mm-hmm. and in several solutions for the pandemic and COVID-19, and we are trying to get together and see how we can help in that.
What do you think about the public, the lay persons, the non-technical persons' relationship with AI? Because you used the example that there's opportunities for AI to improve how humans do something. Mm-hmm. But then there's also how we as humans feel about it. A good example that I heard recently was like, if I go into a store and I don't want anyone to shoplift, there's mm-hmm. cameras, right? My whole mm-hmm. life, there's been cameras in the ceiling. Mm-hmm. And I always assumed that there was a person with a uniform in the back room somewhere with a bunch of computers mm-hmm. looking at the screens. And if they see me try to take something, then they'll come and they'll say, hey, don't take that. Mm-hmm. But you could solve that. You could look at 100 cameras, or you could mm-hmm. do the entire casino floor mm-hmm. and looking for cheating. But for some reason, I think the lay person, at least today in 2020, mm-hmm. feels that I trust a human to do that, but I'm concerned if a computer is, quote unquote, spying on me. How do we change the lay person's relationship to AI that they aren't finding that is a scenario that makes them concerned? You know, there's so much concern around cameras and AI today.
That's a very good point that you're making. And I think in some cases, the concern is legitimate because, I mean, I am also a believer that, you know, whether it's government or someone who shouldn't be recording everything wherever I go, what I do. But let's keep that aside for a bit. So I'll give you an example where we are using exactly the same technique. And I would call it AI for Social Good, where there we had a collaboration with Leonardo DiCaprio's organization, where we are trying to eliminate poaching. And so we could use that camera and the algorithm is such that it catches only if it meets that certain criteria. And then the information is sent to the rancher or whoever, and then they can come and fix it. So if the machine is using it, but then it only sends specific things where they see an issue, and that's where it does, it sends it, and that's where it's used. If people realize that they're not recording their every action, and in fact, the purpose of this is to only catch issues, then I think they will be more convinced rather than thinking that, you know, somebody is recording me and then doing what with this. So it's how you use AI. I think that could be a way of explaining that it is much more effective. And it's better than a human being sitting and checking it out. Whereas I agree that there's a recording, but then it's being used for a specific purpose. That's what AI is good at, right? AI does not have the general intelligence. It's one task and only one task. And if that task is to catch somebody stealing, then that's what it would be good at.
That's a really good answer. That's really thoughtful. It also makes me think, and if we refer back to that example that you gave about protecting animals that you all did with the National Geographic Society, that trail, it was called Trail Guard AI,
yes,
and that
yes,
used
exactly.
the Intel Movidius.
Yeah.
So those vision processing units are like system on a chips that have that neural network local.
Exactly.
Do you think that the concern that people have about AI is that they feel that their images or their information is being transported somewhere, and if they could understand that this work can happen locally and that the processing is local, that increases their trust?
Exactly.
Like the idea that Alexa is not always listening, it's just listening for the word Alexa.
That's right. You gave the answer. Yes, exactly right. I mean, sometimes you do need the processing to happen in the cloud.
Of course.
So things get transferred. But as you